Good morning. It's good to see you this morning. It's good to be in air conditioning this morning, isn't it? Amen to that. Well, it is good to be in the house of the Lord, not just because of the air conditioning, because you're here and the Lord's here. That's the reason, right there with it. The air conditioner is just the icing on the cake, if I'm making it right. It is good to see you this morning. We're going to be in Matthew this morning, Matthew chapter 14. We'll be in verses 22-33. The title of the message is Jesus Brings Strength and Stability. Right there. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I come to you right now and I thank you for this beautiful day. It's a beautiful day because you made it, God. Lord, you've made this day for us to live for you, to love you, to serve you, and to gather into your house this morning and worship you and praise you. We've sung beautiful hymns and praises to your name. Now, Lord, as we open your word, teach us, strengthen us, guide us, counsel us this morning, God, and we'll walk closer with you. We pray in your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. I don't know if you've noticed or not, but life can be tough sometimes, can it not? Boy, I got a lot of amens on that. That's right. Life can be tough. Troubles come in many forms. Many forms. They come in forms of illness, death, sometimes form of financial loss, disappointments. It can be anything that comes. It's what we call life that each and every one of us go through. Not only as an unbeliever would be, a believer as well goes through. But we do have as a believer, we have someone on our side. We'll see that too this morning. Well, let me say this. If you're an unbeliever this morning, you're going to hear what Jesus will do for you too with this passage we're going to look at. The point is, whatever the form comes, whatever troubles do come, what it is that when they do come, how do we handle them? You see, it's either going to make us bitter or better. Bitter or better. It all depends on how we handle, how we respond to them. And we're going to see it this morning. I want to get to some background with this before we dive into verse 22. But some background. What we see in the first part of chapter 14 is the beheading of John the Baptist. The beheading of John the Baptist, who was Jesus' cousin, who was also the one who baptized Jesus, if you remember. So Jesus hears this news. Look what it says in verse 13, right there. Now when Jesus heard about John the Baptist, he withdrew from there in a boat to a secluded place by himself. And when the people heard of this, they followed him on foot from the cities. So Jesus need to be alone. Trouble had come. Bad news had come to him. And he needed to be alone. And I'll address that more later on, actually, in another verse. But then we see that thousands of people converge on him. Actually, we know that the next passages of it is the feeding of the 5,000, which actually was more than that. That was how many men were there. Chances are it could have been 10,000, 15,000 people. That's a lot of folks. And Jesus had done the miracle here where he took 5 loaves and 2 fish and divided it up and fed them all. And now we see in verse 22, immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side while he sent the crowds away. So right there looking at that, he sends his disciples away, tells them to get in the boat and leave. He also sends the crowd away. There were 2 reasons for this. First reason was, actually this passage is also found in John. So if you connect John to this as well, you get bits and pieces together. Jesus sent the crowd away. One reason was because they wanted to make him their king by force. In other words, they wanted to force him into it to be their king. Why? Because he did this miracle. He fed them. He met their need at that point. That was one of the reasons why he sent the crowd away. Another reason is what we're going to see in the next verse. Verse 23. After he had sent the crowds away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. And when it was evening, he was there alone. Here our Savior, Jesus Christ, fully God, fully man, needed time alone to be with the Father. That tells me you and I should be the same. We should take time. Especially when chaos and trouble happen and stress comes on, we need to stop and pray to God. That's what Jesus was doing. That's what he was going to do to start with. Remember, I read that in verse 13 when he heard about John. He withdrew from there in a boat to a secluded place by himself. Jesus was needing a little time. That tells me the same thing for myself and yourself. When troubles come, we need to spend time with God. Now, this isn't a pity party. That don't mean go off and have a pity party. God's not into that. Because what happens in a pity party? Woe is me. Jesus is not doing anything like that. He's talking to the Father. And that's why I'm saying you and I, when we need to be alone with God, it's not a pity party. It's not a woe is me kind of deal. It's talking to our Father. Getting him right there to help with us. Because that's what he wants. He wants us to come to him and rely on him. Even when those times get tough with him. And we're going to see what even happens with us as well. He sends his disciples away. And look at verse 24. But the boat was already a long distance from the land, battered by waves, for the wind was contrary. So the disciples were rowing away. The word is used long distance. Some versions have considerable distance, which literally means many stadia or stadium, which is equal to 600 feet, approximately 600 feet. Actually, you go over to the book of John, it tells us that they rowed about 25 to 30 stadia. So they're about 3 to 4 miles, out on the water. Now the sea was only about 5 miles wide, so they were almost to the other side when this storm hits. Now these were fishermen, most of them. They could handle it, but this was different. This was a different storm that was happening right there. Because like the NASB used the word, battered by the waves for the wind was contrary. That really doesn't make it sound too bad. Matter of fact, the NIV will say buffeted. But actually, in literal terms, they were being tormented. Their boats that they had were not like the boats we have now. That boat was rocking back and forth. Now, I don't know if you've ever been on a cruise ship. I went on a cruise ship back for my senior trip. And as massive as that ship was, during the night we had a storm. And I could feel that big old ship just rocking back and forth. Now, the ships, boats they had at that time were nowhere near that size. I can only imagine what it was like. The rocking, the wind, and carrying on. Again, they were being tormented by this, and they were a long ways away. 3 to 4 miles. Right there, trying to get to the other side. So it's easy to say they were having some chaos going on around them. And a matter of fact, we're going to see it in the next verse right there, after the next verse. But look, it says in verse 25, and the fourth watch of the night, he, Jesus, came to them walking on the sea. Now, from 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. is divided up into 4 3-hour increments. You had the first watch, the second watch, third watch, fourth watch. Fourth watch was 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. So this is about the time Jesus is walking on the water in the midst of the storm. I shared with you about the cruise ship and the waves and rocking back and forth. I remember walking down the hallway, long halls on this cruise ship. I was walking down the hallway and I didn't adjust with the ship when it leaned. So I actually was walking and I just leaned right into the wall. And actually my arm caught the little rail and the rail pulled off the wall right there. I was like, oh my word. But the waves and stuff like that happening. The words you read right there when it says, and walking on the sea, Jesus just having a nice, peaceful stroll. Here we see fully God, fully man. Jesus is walking on the water. Midst the storm, the waves, and he's just having a leisurely stroll. That's what is happening right there. He's just walking down the street, basically. Like I said, this is where we see he's fully God. And we're going to see what the disciples have going on with them. Look at verse 26. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. They were terrified. They were scared to death. Which we easily. Here they are fighting waves, trying to row this boat. And they look up and they see somebody on the water. I don't know about you, but I'd be rowing even faster. I'd be like, we got to get this boat going. There's somebody there. They didn't recognize him at first. They didn't think about it. That's why they called it, they literally say, it's a ghost. They cried out in fear right there. I mean, they were panicking. It's easy to say that they had chaos and troubled times happening right there around them. And they were being stressed out. Well, who would not? Who would not be stressed out in something like that? Even the ones who been on the sea, the fishermen, they were stressed out. Because this wasn't just a little blow up happening. This was a severe storm going on. And I have to laugh right now with this because verse 27. Because remember now, 26, they cried out in fear. They were scared to death. And I can't blame them. I would be too. Verse 27, but immediately Jesus spoke to them saying, "Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid." Jesus spoke to them. And look what he said. Take courage. Other versions, the ESV says, take heart. The King James Version actually says, be of good cheer. I'm sorry. I couldn't be of good cheer at that moment in time. Let's be honest. They probably wasn't either. When they heard those words, they're like, what? Jesus, don't you see what's happening around us? He does. Guess what? In our lives, when trouble is happening, chaos is happening, we get like that too. God, don't you know what's going on in my life right now? Don't you see? Don't you care? And Jesus is It's telling them, just like he tells us, take courage right there. Good cheer. Take heart. Jesus is letting them know to have confidence in the face of trouble and chaos. He gives them the sense, it's all right. And he tells us why right there in the same verse. Look at that. The next three words, actually. It is I. It is I. He actually uses the Greek word ego eimi. our ego image. We could go all the way back to Exodus at the burning bush where the same words are being used right there, really. I am. He's telling them, don't be afraid. Why? Because I am with you. The reassurance there is nothing to really be worried about during those times of trouble, stress, and chaos, because the I am is there. Jesus is telling them, don't be afraid, because I am here. And the same for you and me. When chaos comes, when troubled times come, which we acknowledged at the start, it does happen. Whatever form it might take place, God is saying, I am here. Now that doesn't mean just to put a smile on your face and, oh, everything's great. Everything's hunky-dory. You're still going to go through the emotions. You're still going to go through these emotions, which is nothing wrong with it. You need to go through them. You need to let them out. I've shared this story, not with y'all, but I've shared before with folks on different sermons and stuff. I still remember so vividly. Sitting there, my father-in-law goes on a Wednesday to have stones taken out. Went to the hospital. My wife takes it. It's her father. Next time I get a call, if something's wrong, there's problems. And then that weekend rolls around with it. And I'm sitting there with my two children on the couch telling them Papa was gone. And I'm crying right there. But I know that I am was there, but I'm still going through it because they're going through it. Everyone was going through it. It was something wasn't expected. Wasn't planned. Wasn't anything on the radar about this. Just like the time when I get the phone call from my dad. Your mother's gone. I'm like, what? Wait a minute. We just celebrated her birthday the day before. And I drive from Clinton to Edwards as quickly as I can. And I wasn't smiling. I wasn't happy. I wasn't joyous or anything. I was going through emotions, just like those disciples were going through those emotions right there. Really, when you get down to it. It wasn't until after that I realized with it and could see that God was with us, with me. That strength and stability right there. You might not see it right away, but it's there. He is there. And he's telling us, don't be afraid because I am, is with you. And that's what he's telling them right there. And look at verse 28 right there. We know this next passage very well with it. Verse 28, Peter said to him, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. In other words, Peter's standing there. Since it is you, enable me to do what you're doing. And guess what? There's only been two people to walk on water. Two people. Jesus was the first. Peter is next, right there with it, because look what he does. Jesus said, come. And Peter got out of the boat and walked on water and came toward Jesus. All right, I'm going to tell on myself here. And growing up in Edwards, we had a community pool. And I would try to do that. Now, you're laughing at me. All right, let's be honest. How many of y'all tried to do that when you were little? Let's raise your hand up there. At least I had one honest person right over there. We all try to do that. Let's see if we can make one or two steps. And you get at the edge of the pool, and even if you got a running start right there. As soon as my toe hit the water, the rest of my body did too. How about you? There's no way. That's why I said they're only doing two people that walked on water right there. Jesus is first. He was walking on the water. And when Peter asked about that, Jesus told him, come. And look what it said. Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came toward Jesus. Now, a lot of times right there in that verse, as we get into the next as well, a lot of preachers want to focus on Peter's lack of faith. But right there, that verse shows me he had strong faith. He got out of the boat amidst the storm. How many of us would just stay behind? No, I'm good. I see the waves coming. No, you're rocking the boat here. And we'll stay in the boat. But Peter got out. Climbed out of the boat and stepped on water. Which, like I said, we all got a good laugh out of it. None of us can do that. As soon as foot hit the water, it's all going under right there. Everything's going to fall. But Peter gets out and walks on the water toward Jesus. Oh my word, that strength and stability. Here we see again, fully God and fully man. Jesus. Because he's the one that's allowing Peter to do that. No one else. Peter wasn't doing it. Peter's faith was allowing him right there with his faith in Jesus. And like I said, he stepped out of the boat onto the waves and starts walking toward Jesus. And then we see what happens next. And this is, like I said, a lot of people focus on it. But we need to go back and remember, he had strong faith to start with what he did, getting out of the boat. Verse 30, but seeing the wind, he became frightened. And beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. Peter gets out of the boat and he's walking. We're not told how far. But even if he took one foot out of the boat and stands on the water, that's good enough right there. He gets out and his eyes were first focused on Jesus. But then what has happened? But seeing the wind, he became frightened again and beginning to sink. He cried out, Lord, save me. He took his eyes off of Jesus and he starts seeing the chaos around. The problems, the wind, the waves. And he cries out to Jesus. You see, even for us, amidst the storm, we must keep our eyes focused on Jesus. Focused on him. That doesn't mean the problem's gone. The waves are still there. But Jesus is saying, just keep your eyes focused on me. Because as a matter of fact, what happens? Verse 31, immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and took hold of him and said to him, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Now granted, yes, Jesus did kind of reprimand him there with it. But like I said, he stepped out of the boat. We can't sit there and point a finger at him if we're not willing to even step out of the boat. He did step out. But then he saw those waves and everything coming across him, and he took his eyes off of Jesus and he started sinking. And then when he cried out, Jesus grabbed him and pulled him up. And look at verse 32. When they got into the boat, the wind stopped. I like that right there because that tells me no matter how far out they were, Jesus pulled him up out of the water. The wind and waves are still going on. The storm's still happening. And Jesus is holding him by the hand and brings him to the boat. Then he calms the sea afterwards. You know what that tells me right there? That Jesus might not always calm the storm while we're in it. And why? I can't tell you why. He's God. Just like he could have just stopped it right there. When Peter stepped out, he could have been like, and been like glass. But he didn't. It was still going on. And then Peter cried out. Jesus could have stopped it then. But he didn't. Even when he grabbed him by the hand, he could have stopped it, but he still didn't. It's just until they got into the boat is when the wind stopped right there with it. And you know, it's like many of us, when we take our eyes off of Jesus and we focus on that storm that's around us, we lose focus and we begin to panic. We begin to panic and we cry out. It wasn't Peter grabbing Jesus. Jesus grabbed Peter. And the same thing for you and me. You know, even though Peter's faith, he might have doubted for a little bit, Jesus still saved him. And guess what? For you and me, in the midst of the storm, we cry out to him. Guess what he's going to do? He's going to immediately reach out and grab us, no matter how little our faith is. He's going to pull us right there. You see, just like we talked about, the storms are going to come. They're going to happen. They're going to happen in our life. But we can rest assured, right? Strength and stability that can only come through Jesus Christ is there. Look at verse 33. And those who were in the boat worshiped him, saying, "You are certainly God's son." They stopped and they worshiped God. They worshiped and gave glory to Jesus. The same thing for you and me as we go through storms in life. We need to focus on Him and worship Him. Even when it's tough. Even amidst the tears and the heartache. We're to cry out to Him. That's what He wants. You know, even when Peter doubted right there, Jesus could have said, "Oh, no, you doubted, Peter. I'm sorry." That's not Him. He immediately reached out, grabbed his hand, and pulled him. Same thing for you and me. When troubles come, when chaos happens in our life, when stress comes about, we must look to Him. And it might get to a point where you have to literally cry out. Guess what? He's right there. And He's going to tell you, "I am is here." He's going to reach out. He's going to grab you and pull you up. He's not going to say, "Well, the storm's going to stop." It might. It might not. You know, there's another passage right there where he was asleep and the storms came up and he quieted the storm. But here, he didn't quiet it until he got in the boat. He wants us to make sure we know He's there and He's in control. No matter what form of life it happens right there, that trouble that we talked about that comes, no matter what form it takes in our life, like I said, it could be health, it could be death, it could be financial, it could be anything. He's there. He's just waiting for us to cry out to Him. Cry out to Him and say, "Jesus, save me." Now, He's already saved you if you're a believer. But just like Peter, you might be sinking. Because you're focused on the problem. And that chaos and the panicking, which is easy to do. And He's right there. And He wants to hear you cry and He'll grab you and pull you in. And then once we see He's helped us through, we can worship and praise and honor Him. The old saying, hindsight's 20/20, it really is. Because we look back and we see how God has led us through those moments in our life. And we can give Him honor and glory. before we have this time of invitation, I want to read this poem to you that fits so well with this. You've probably heard of it before. Footprints in the Sand. One night I dreamed a dream as I was walking along the beach with my Lord. Across the dark sky flashed scenes of my life. For each scene, I noticed two sets of footprints in the sand, one belonging to me and one to my Lord. After the last scene of my life flashed before me, I looked back at the footprints in the sand, and I noticed that many times along the path of my life, especially the very lowest and saddest times, there was only one set of footprints. This really troubled me, so I asked the Lord about it. Lord, you said once I decided to follow you, you would walk with me all the way. But I noticed that during those saddest, most troublesome times of my life, there was only one set of footprints. I don't understand why, when I needed you the most, you would leave me. He whispered, my precious child, I love you and will never leave you. Never, ever. During your trials and testings, when you saw only one set of footprints, it was then that I carried you. In our troubles and our problems that go on in life, Jesus is there. He wants to carry us. He wants to reach out there and carry us. But a lot of times we try to go the other way. Like I said, he's not in the pity parties. Woe is me. What he wants to hear is, Jesus, save me. That's what he wants to hear. And he's going to reach out. He's going to grab you by the hand. And he's going to pick you up and carry you through those times. With it. I don't know where you are in your life right now. I don't know if you're having problems. If not, it's going to be coming. But the Lord brought this message today for this reason. For you to hear that I am is with you. Jesus is there. Reach out. Cry out to him. If you're going through a trial right now, problem in life, a storm, whatever you want to call it, you might be in the middle of it or it might be at the beginning. It doesn't matter. Because Jesus is there. Cry out to him. And let him grab you and take you through it. Don't wait till the eye of the storm. But really need to start at the beginning. But he won't turn away even if you're in the middle. And like I said, you think you lack faith? Peter did. And he still grabbed him. He'll grab you. You might be here this morning. You're not a believer. I can tell you what. Problems are going to happen. Just like with everybody. We just talked about that. Life happens and bad things happen to everyone. But the problem with you is the fact you don't have the I am on your side yet. Oh, he's God. He loves everyone. Yes, he does. Through his son, Jesus Christ. If you haven't believed in Jesus Christ, you're not a child of his. And he wants you to be a child of his. That way he'll reach out and grab you and he will save you. We're going to have a moment of prayer and then we're going to have our invitation. I want to ask you, where are you at in your life today? Are you going through a storm? Come down. I'll pray with you. You can come kneel at this altar. It doesn't matter what you do. You cry out to Jesus. And he will help you to say, don't be afraid. I am is there. If you're here, you're not a believer. Here's your moment. Here's your time to believe in Jesus Christ. You came in this church lost, but you can leave saved at this moment in time. We're going to have prayer and then we'll have our invitation. Will you stand with me while I pray? Dear Heavenly Father, God, I come to you right now. I come to you thanking you for this day again. Lord, whatever's going on in someone's life today, whatever problems are happening, you are the I am, and you're saying I'm right there. If they need to make a decision for you today, I pray they will do it. Whether it be to rededicate their life, to join this church, or actually to come to you for a new believer. Whatever it is today, God, I pray everyone will make a decision for you today. We pray this in your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen.
A hymn of invitation is "Just As I Am." Just as another quick reminder before we leave today, we are needing some, looking for help in the children's department during Sunday school and children's church. So be in prayer for that. See Miss April Elton or Miss Robin if you're interested. Other than that, it's been a good day to be here this morning. Amen. All right. I know that I love that sermon. That's one of my favorite passages of scripture. And one of the things I always like to remind myself of is that the wind and the waves still know his name. So whatever storm gets thrown at you by life, the name of Jesus, they still know his voice. So it has to bow to his name. So good stuff today, brother, and I appreciate you. All right. Well, let's remember as we go throughout our week to say yes when the Holy Spirit asks us to do something. Amen. Let's sing.